Did everybody get the email that I sent on Tuesday with the list of topics for today?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
so,
I actually just I took that list and copied and pasted it into a new Google Docs with some other notes I had started to make on some random things. So I just emailed everyone that link. I don't know if everyone will need it, but it's there to refer back to. Sorry.
You said you put other stuff in there too, then?
Yeah, basically what I did is I was starting to there's a table I put in there. The reason I emailed the link to everyone and put it in a Google Docs is there's a table I put in there that I might refer back to when we start talking about our research instrument and refining these questions. It just kind of looks at our hypothesis and the various scenarios that we might want to capture with this. So if that comes up later, I wanted it to be in a place where everyone easily had access.
Okay, well, we can all go there.
Everyone has that link, yeah. Or everyone should have that link right now.
Mine just came through. All right, so first thing, JSM. I actually put a copy of the presentation that Lee had created and Hurla modified in the Google Groups page. So the first thing that we need to talk about was how we're going to divide up work to get the presentation done. And I don't think, Hurley, you didn't add anything extra there.
No, I figured we would go through and talk about who wanted to do what part, because I don't have a strong opinion one way or another.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to turn off my volume on my cell phone, which is very loud and just went off. Okay. So do the RAB members, are you guys, Hurla, or Randy and Felicity, did you have copies of the presentation that Lee had created and Hurla had modified?
Let's see, it's in the Google Docs.
I put it on Google Docs because I can't remember if we'd sent that to everybody or not.
Okay. I clicked on the link that let's see, this is from her email, I think. I clicked on that link, and I have that page up.
Okay, sorry, I meant input under Google Groups. It's JSM2010_HM.
Okay. I'll get to that.
So basically, our presentation that you guys created have four parts. The first part was the overview, research questions, methodology. And then we had the lit review, the opinion survey results, and then what's next. Does anyone have a section that they really, really, really want to work on?
For myself, whatever I'm getting done is going to be happening in the next week. So for me, probably the easiest thing would be the opinion survey and results since we have that done.
Yeah, let's give Jeff the easiest part. The least amount of work part.
I can't hear you, Lee.
Okay. No one is not cooperating in it. Jeff, you have the least amount of work part.
Okay, so, Jeff, do you want to do both the opinion survey and the results, or did you just want to do half of it?
Well, since we already have picked sort of the questions that we're going to focus on, I don't think looking at the results would be too hard.
Okay. I think it might be a good idea to include, well, maybe not. I was going to say to include an example of, like, a question you decided not to use and why, but I'm going to take that back for sake of time because JSM presentations are short, so never mind.
It might be good to put that into a slide at the end in case the question is asked.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a great idea. I would love to just stick it in.
How long do we have? Is it 15 or 20 minutes?
I think 15.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 15.
Okay, because I thought he had originally said 15, but then I thought he said in a later email that it was 25, 20 for a presentation and 5 for questions. But I couldn't find the email, so maybe I just made it up.
Wait, how long is the session? Is it an hour and a half?
I thought you said it was an hour and a half.
Because there's the three different research clusters plus Miasta doing the what it's like to be in a cluster thing. So there's technically four things. So 15 minutes of 5 minutes for questions each seems close to an hour and a half. I don't know.
All right, so Jackie's going to do opinion survey results. Lee, since you used to do all the talking, do you want the overview and the research questions part?
Sure.
Because that shouldn't be too much since we're stuck having to do the whole presentation. Okay. For what's next, what were you guys thinking? Should we include our research instrument plus where we're going? Should we include not the stuff that we're working on now and just kind of a summary of what the next steps are? Should we try to get a pilot study done, which I probably can't do that, but what were you guys thinking for what's next?
I definitely think we should include some of the questions, even if we don't have the chance to pilot them. One of the things I commented on later is I may be able to this term, but I think at bare minimum we should at least have an example of this is our hypothesis. Well, I guess that will come up in the first part, but we can say, you know, now that we've picked topics, and this is, we've written some questions for those. So I would include some the current instrument we're working on.
Okay. Anyone else have any opinion? The big piece, I think, is going to be the lit review.
Yeah.
I think we still have some, in my opinion, I think we still have a little bit more work to do on that before we're ready. What do you guys think?
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, we've got a...
What, Lee?
I think we've got a couple articles. We're missing a few, I think.
Yeah, I think we are, too. I would be willing to write up... I mean, I'd be willing to do that part, the lit review part of the presentation. Herla, do you want to do the what's next, the current instrument, that piece, or do you prefer to do, do you have a preference?
I really don't have a strong preference, so I can do what's next. And then did that, I know we mentioned this before, and I think I was typing, so I missed it. So Lee is doing the first part?
Yeah.
I'd certainly be willing to tackle what next. I do think that the lit review is big enough that we should probably all continue to work on it together for a little while longer.
Yeah.
You're, you know, just making, summarizing and making slides, not doing the whole lit review on your own.
Right, yes, yeah. But I guess that kind of ties in with the second question. For the lit review, since we know we have a better idea of what we're doing now, I thought it would be beneficial for us to go back and look at the articles that we started with and that we kind of read at the beginning and see if we can pull any of that, anything else out of them now that we have a better idea of what we're doing. What did you guys think? You think it's a waste of time or do you think that's useful? Does anyone have any?
Are you talking about articles like the Watson article and the...
Some of those. I think some of the earlier ones that we read referenced the problem sometimes with using context and with the students, and I don't know that we really focused on it at the time. We
might have going back all the way to early on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if we each take one, or, you know, if we each take a couple and kind of, even if we just scan them to see if there's anything else. No.
I think it could be a good idea, and I think since we have read them in depth and discussed them in depth, we probably could pick up new information with a scan, but wouldn't be going back and rereading everything. And now that we have focused our questions, I wouldn't be surprised if we found a different, if we gleaned different information out of the article. So I think it would be worthwhile. That mean that we can then use those articles possibly to help suggest, like we can look at their references and see if there might be one or two or a few new articles that are worth our time to read more carefully as well. So I personally think it would be worthwhile, even though it will take a little bit of time.
Okay.
One thing I wanted to mention, as you go back and look at the articles, you might want to think about how the concept mapping idea for literature reviews might tie into the work, because at the last RAB conference call, Bob Del Moss was talking about possibly sending out a request to the groups for the concept map. I haven't seen the email come through yet, but I know that's one of the things that they were planning on asking about.
And that's kind of what I was thinking, too. If you look at the list I sent out yesterday, if you go down to number 3 for our literature review, I call that a graphic organizer, not a concept map, but that was what I was talking about.
Right,
and that's
yeah.
what I was thinking,
yeah.
that if we did it, then that would might be a good starting point for our concept map.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe what we can do is, after we finish the call today, we can pull together a list of all those articles and send them out by email, and we can just each sign up to do one or two, depending on our time.
And on our Google groups, we have a couple different, they're under pages. There's one that's a list of references, and then there's one that's like an annotated bibliography for confirmation bias. I think that's ones that we haven't read yet, really. So we already have a pretty good list of most of our references. They might not all apply, but they're kind of out there.
Yeah, I remember we had to prepare a list for Bob at one point. I don't know if it ever got sent to him, but I know he had requested it at one point. I think it's a pages file on the Google.
Yeah, it's called list of references. I'm looking at it.
Does that include the confirmation bias stuff? I'm pulling that up now.
There's the one of it from Jennifer Kaplan on there, but we have a separate kind of one for the annotated for the confirmation bias, so I think they're ones we haven't spent a lot of time on yet.
Right, that may have come up after we... actually, there are a couple. I had read one or two, and I'm seeing those on the end of that list, so they may be the only ones in the annotated bibliography that are actually annotated. So, yeah, I think we have the list of references already. That's good. That stuff's already done.
The list of references includes some of those articles when we had split off, right, where we were each reading one or two?
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them include ones that, you know, aren't really going to be useful. Like there's ones about conditional probability that we're not going to be wanting to
right.
go back and look at type idea.
Should we take a quick look at those and just kind of decide, I'll look at these two articles, you'll look at those two articles, or do you think we can kind of just go through that?
Well, we might as well decide that now so that we have longer to get it done. What was, do you remember the very first one that we all had to read? Was it the reasoning about data? Are they in that order? Did you put this list together, Herla?
I think I started it, and I think it's more or less in time order. Yeah, the Knold and Higgins and the Shaughnessy article, and I probably butchered both of those names, but those are the first two we read. So I think those would be a good place to start because they were obviously something that the RAB thought were important for everybody to look at. So I would include those. And probably I'm skimming the titles now. What do you guys think about the ones that talk about general statistical inference?
I think the Castro-Sotis one, if I remember correctly, wasn't that just a review of literature?
Yes. Yes, it was. That could be an interesting one to look at then, because in a review, she might highlight different aspects, so we might be able to find another article to go look at more in depth.
I think we probably only need to do one of the Saldana and Thompson ones. We had a couple different ones that we looked at.
Probably. What was the most recent one? That would just be off the top of my head. That would be the one I would probably go for as the most recent of all of them. Because I think they were somewhat related studies, weren't they?
If I remember correctly, yeah. There's a 2002 one. We don't have a date for the other one. Maybe the second one. Didn't the first one focus on the idea of a sampling distribution? And the difference between understanding taking multiple samples versus having one sample of a certain size? I don't really remember, though. Well, should we pick four of them to start with and then see if we get anything out of it? And if we find it's really useful, we can look at some others. Okay. We can always decide that by email.
That's not a bad idea, actually. Does everybody want to pick one?
So we can do reasoning about data, research on statistics, learning, and reasoning, the student's misconception, the literature review one, and then we can do the second Thompson one, the conceptions of sample and their relationship to statistical inference. What do you guys think about those four?
Sounds good to me.
Jackie, right. Do you think we have time to do?
What were, you said conceptions of sampling and their relation to statistical inference.
And then the first three on the list.
Okay.
So 1, 2, 3, and 7.
Who would like to read each one?
Okay. Am I on the wrong page?
List of references?
List of references?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it on the... Oh, you said on the left. Okay. Sorry. I can't tell my left from my right. Never mind.
I have that problem, too. All right. Who would like to take each article?
Nobody feels strongly.
All right, that sounds good. So we are going to go down the list.
Jackie, do you want to do the literature review one, because it's a short one? It was only 15 pages, I think. Do you think you'll have time?
I figured that one's going to have a lot more to go through.
Okay. Because the first couple were like 50 pages long, weren't they?
Well, the first one's like 22. I don't know without the Shaughnessy one. We don't have that one.
So do you want to take the Shaughnessy one?
Sure.
All right. Who wants to take the lit review one? All right. I vote Kara.
That's fine.
No particular order. There we go. I just put our assignment on that page.
Where did you put them?
I added them to the page. Sorry.
You're in the Google document.
Okay. Just to confuse things further, I'm in the document, and I have our articles there. And I just assigned names because it didn't seem like anyone had a real strong preference.
No.
So.
Is there anything else that does anyone else have any comments about our presentation for JSM? I think those first two kind of go together and will contribute to the presentation. What about, Hurley, you said that you might be able to do pilot study?
Yeah, we have a spring term. We have two summer sessions. One is going on right now. It's a couple weeks in. The other one starts. Like, one may actually be finishing up shortly, and then the other one will start soon after that. The switch takes place somewhere in June or July. So I can probably pilot something there, and it's got about 100 students. So I think I could pass out a worksheet with, like, one or two of our questions. I wouldn't be able to pilot everything, but we could maybe, you know, pick our favorite or the one we're most curious about, and I could certainly pilot that, which I think would be enough for JSM.
Mm-hmm. And it would give us an idea of what kind of results or, you know, what kind of answers we can see.
Yeah.
And when I looked over our questions, a lot of them, they were very similar, so. Felicity, Randy, do you know what the other groups are presenting? Do they have a lot of results, or are they more literature review focused? Do you know?
I don't actually know. Randy, do you know?
No, I know that some of the groups are working on putting together data gathering instruments and things like that, but I don't know of anyone that's real far along with the process. And I think Bob and Joan, for that matter, are really emphasizing the literature review portion of it.
Yeah, I think Joan tends to really push not moving too fast into data collection and really thinking before you leap.
Yeah, that was really her main concern again at the REV conference call last time, too.
Okay, so we're pretty much consistent with what the other groups are doing right now? We're not behind. We're not.
We are no, where we expect
no.
to be.
I think you're
right.
Yeah. Don't stress.
Okay.
No, I think you're at a good point now.
All right. Anyone else? Anything about JSM presentation or?
Do we know exactly what date the presentation is? Since I'm not going to be there.
Oh, yeah, it's in my email. I keep getting little things about it. I
have it written in my planner.
So, like, when are you guys taking off? Is it, like, the end, very end of July, or is it very beginning of August?
Yeah, I think my flight is July 31st. JSM starts August 1st. think the presentation is like the third, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe so the second.
How early would we want to make sure that we definitely have the presentation solid by? Like a week.
Well, preferably before the second. Or the chair for this third, no.
The research cluster presentation is on August 4th.
Yeah, 2 p.m. We're actually one of the latest ones.
Okay. And do you guys have to, like, send the presentation early for it to be preloaded, or do you just bring it up?
I think you can preload it that day.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we can, yeah.
Because I think they know people tend to work on these things up until the night before they present.
Okay. Yes, we can have a conference call at, you know, 11 p.m. August 3rd if we have to.
Are we required to have handouts or anything?
No.
Nope. I don't think so.
Okay.
We can if we feel it, you know, appropriate, but...
A lot of the conferences I've been at lately, their handouts have been bibliographies. Of articles for recommended reading and stuff.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I've seen a lot of presenters do it, but I've seen a lot of presenters not do it. So I think
right.
It just depends on what you feel is appropriate for your talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, anything else, Jason? All right, we're half hour in. Is everybody... Do we have to go right at 11, or?
I have some flexibility in time today.
Yeah, I have a meeting at 2.
I really hope before then.
Yeah, hopefully you won't still be here. I have a problem. I have less than house sitting, and I have a lot of animals waiting for me to go let them out, and I prefer not to have a big mess to clean up. So hopefully we'll be done by 2. All right, so second topic for today was our research instrument. We each posted questions. We have them two places. We have them in the Google Groups, and we have them in a Google Doc. I sent everybody the link to Google Doc. Does everybody get it? My email for work's not working, so I've been using my Texas A&M account, so I'm always hesitant. I don't know if everything's going to go through or not.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like everybody got their stuff loaded, as far as I can tell here. Well,
Randy and Felicity, did you get the link to the...
I've got it in the Google group.
You have it up in Google group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Can I open it in Google Docs just to see, in case you change anything? That's probably a good idea.
I think the order is different in the Google Groups page versus the Google Doc page also. In the Google Doc page, Jackie's tuition costs is first, and that's about halfway down in the Google Doc page.
Can we all work off of the doc? Can other people get access if we're all in the same thing?
We can.
Yeah, I just tried to go to the Google Groups page, and it's saying it does not exist.
Do you know why it does that?
No idea. Oh, wait, maybe because I went to the wrong thing. Okay, never mind. Okay, we're good.
So our main topics were the food irradiation, the texting, the luggage one, tuition, and then the marijuana and the Mac versus PC.
Right. Now what I did before, and maybe this will be good to kind of guide our question organizing. This is a Google Doc page called Notes from June 2nd Call, which I emailed you all the link right around 10 a.m. this morning. Mm-hmm. And if you scroll towards the bottom of that page, you'll see a word table. And basically what I was doing is I was just thinking about, okay, what's our general hypothesis? And then what are the different scenarios we need to cover? Like, what are all of the ways that, I guess, what are all the combinations that we need to look at is what I'm trying to say. So we want to know if students can assess the quality of sampling methods. So we're going to have good sampling methods and we're going to have poor sampling methods. And then we want to know if their ability to assess the quality of sampling methods is affected by the strength of their opinion. And also the other aspect of that is whether or not the article agrees or disagrees with them. So then I see three categories, strong agrees, strong disagrees, and neutral. And what I did in that table is try to work out what I think our hypothesis would look like in each of those six cells now. So, for instance, if it's a strong study and it agrees with the students, you can kind of see the common thread is that they're under our hypothesis, if I'm understanding our hypothesis correctly. They should accept the results and not really recognize the aspects of sampling, whether good or bad. Whereas if it disagrees, they may question whether good or bad. And then for neutral, I would hope that they would be able to recognize the good aspects. Like, they should be able to properly assess the sampling, hopefully without being caught up in context or opinion at all. So they should be able to recognize good sampling from bad sampling. And I kind of started to jot down what I'm thinking of as aspects of good sampling, aspects of poor sampling at the bottom of the page. So I guess first thing is, as you guys are looking at this, do you agree? Do you think this is what we've been talking about and how our problem is kind of deconstructed? Does everybody see the table?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does anybody disagree with an aspect of this or think it needs to be added to or anything along those lines? Do you think this is a useful framework for classifying the problems that we wrote? Like, as we start to go through and review them and edit them a little bit, do you think this is useful?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think this is very helpful.
Okay. So then I guess we want to think about my idea in putting this together is now we can look at each of our scenarios and decide where each scenario fits. And I think in some cases we might be able to write several versions of a question that would fit into different boxes. And in other cases we may have completely different scenarios filling in a box. So, you know, the context may change. So all that being said, should we go back to our other Google Docs page, the research instrument questions page, and start to go through that in order?
Should we start with the neutrals because they're probably going to be easier?
Sure.
To get a feel for what we want, and then we can do the ones that fall into the strongly the agree and disagree category.
Does that sound reasonable?
So our two neutral ones were the luggage and the food irradiation.
Why don't we start with food irradiation since it's at the top of the page? Tara, that was yours, wasn't it?
That was mine. Yeah, I didn't, I mean, there were a lot of, I found a lot of summaries of studies that were done, and ultimately I found a document, the Food Irradiation Today document, that did a nice job summarizing all the research that had been done. So I used that kind of as guidance, and I tried to write a couple scenarios. But I don't, reading over what you guys did, I don't think mine are as detailed. For example, when I look at Perlow's list, larger, you know, large sample, I didn't put the sample size, so it's probably something I'll have to go back and add in.
One of the things that, just even from Sadly TC last night, is sort of looking at the very first scenario, you don't actually really say anything about how the sample was collected. Or at least, I mean, my students would be saying, I have no clue of how the sample was taken in the first place.
Okay.
Yeah, if we want them to assess whether it was a good sample or a bad sample, there's really nothing in here that tells them how the sample was taken.
So how about if you look at number two, the scenario two, if I
okay.
That one I included more detailed information, if I take that and modify it.
Okay, so if
I could just... When I read scenario two, you know, it was obvious to me it was a bad sample, but I think a lot of times to us, a vague sample is a good sample, but I don't think students think of it that way.
That's a good thing, I suppose.
I mean, it is actually a good thing. You know, I just gave an example yesterday. We were talking about, you know, we had 200 smokers, 100 had this medicine, 100 had this one, and they're like, but were they all the same number of packs a day smokers? Were they all the same age? I mean, they were asking all these good questions that, you know, weren't there.
All right, how about if I change the first one? Wanted to test if strawberries, I'm going to quick change it. Can you guys see it as I change it? Do I have to save it first?
No, I see a change.
It updates every so often.
Jackie, is it more in line? Can you see the change? Is that more in line with what you're thinking in terms of detail?
Yeah.
Hold on. They randomly selected 1,000 strawberries that were grown from... ...100 farms. How about that? They randomly selected 1,000 strawberries from 100 different farms across the U.S., so there's no question.
I think that sounds good. And then I would even point out that the control group came from the same farm, because I kind of like that aspect of it.
Okay. So they randomly selected 1,000 strawberries from the same 100 farms.
Yeah. I think it would make sense to kind of block on farms to some extent. Experimental design was the last unit I taught, so that's all fresh in the mind.
Control groups are randomly selected on those information, the same 100 times. Okay, what do you guys think about the revised scenario one?
Looks good.
Are you okay with scenario? You guys are okay with scenario two? Was there anything that you thought needed to be changed? The one thing I noticed was I did not include p-values. Jackie, in your examples, you included p-values. Do you guys think we need p-values in all of them, or?
I don't think so, necessarily. In my example, I included a news article, and they never put p-values in news articles, so I don't think we need to have it in each. I think switching up the format a little bit is probably okay, because that's what we would do with real examples in class anyway.
Okay. I guess my only question, looking at the kind of the first two scenarios, is do we want the only thing to be different is the sampling method or the inference as well? So, like, you know, on the first one, you have that we're going to say that strawberries versus the other one says all fruits.
That's an interesting question. The way I interpreted that, not that my thinking would necessarily be representative of a student, but I thought, well, it's improper inference because the sample's not representative. Strawberries probably aren't representative of all fruits.
That's what I was thinking when I did it, because there are fruits that you cannot irradiate, like plums, and there are some other citrus fruits that cannot be irradiated. That's what
because
I was thinking.
Because then my question is, are they going to be questioning that second one because it was one farmer or just because it was all fruits? Because, you know, if you put that all fruits in the very first one, suddenly that's a bad thing to be saying, too.
So you think our second one, it should stay identical to the first, except that we should just have strawberries grown by one farmer?
I mean, is that what we're trying to test, is that the sampling method is the problem, not the inference? I guess that's a question. So it seems like that's kind of more testing. Do they understand the population of an inference versus the sampling method?
That's a good point. I was thinking that this, just using the strawberries would be an improper sample if I wanted all fruit.
I mean, I guess I feel like in scenario one and scenario two, only one thing should change, not both. I mean, in scenario two, what are we wanting them to question? The all fruits part or the fact that you only used one farmer?
I wanted them to question the fact that I used strawberries and then generalized it to all fruit. That's what I was thinking.
So I think we have two ways we could change this problem. If we want to keep it as the sample's not representative because they only use strawberries and then try to generalize to all fruit, we could just actually make it the same sampling, copy and paste the sentence that we just edited from scenario one. If we want to emphasize that they didn't even get a good sample of strawberries, without making that leap to all fruit, then I think we just change the final sentence from all fruits to strawberries and leave the sampling and scenario two the same.
And otherwise, I just worry, you know, scenario two, they're going to be questioning two different things, possibly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you do have two problems. One is you have, first of all, a bad sample of strawberries because it's only one farmer. The other thing you have is then you have an improper leap from strawberries to all fruit.
Right.
All right. So,
and it might be kind of a giveaway to have both.
And we're going to focus on the bad sample, right? So to bring this more in line with what we're thinking. And I need to go back to where I was. All right, hold on.
Can you just hit undo?
I did undo. All right, paper in the mail selected. should I make it obvious and say the control group was 10 strawberries from a different farmer? Should I be even that obvious? What do you think? Here, I saved. Can you guys see what I changed so far?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Sometimes I think with students, you can never make things too obvious.
Yeah, not kidding.
So there you would have an issue. Not only is it not representative, well, it just kind of does can exacerbate that issue that a single farm is not representative because of all the factors that could be different about that farmer's soil, watering habits, sun exposure, all of that. And then if the control group comes from another group, you can just build up, you know. There could be issues where one farmer had good soil, one farmer had bad. Those are the types of things we can talk about with students.
I mean, I think especially since this is our first time doing it, making it as obvious as possible might not be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So as a control group, they randomly selected 10 strawberries from a different farmer. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you guys see the update in? I just saved it.
Yeah. I think that looks good, and I think that certainly covers the two cells that have to do with neutral scenarios from the table.
Okay.
One thing I was thinking, and this may just be nitpicky, but the 1 to 5 kilorays, do you think that will confuse them if they don't understand what a kilorays is? Should we just, like, do you think that's a detail we need in there, or could we just say, based on the data collected, irradiated strawberries had delayed mold growth?
I don't think we need it, and it might confuse them if they don't know what that means.
Which most of them will have no clue. So I can take it out.
Our students are in a love story of problems as it is.
Yeah. That's one thing. Since I'm a scientist, I'm always adding a lot of technical detail, and then sometimes I realize, you know, I probably didn't need all that in there. The problem could have been much cleaner, and we could have focused on things better.
Well, I'm going to change it to say irradiated strawberries then because it sounds silly the way that it's written. All right. Okay. Anything else on that neutral one? Okay, the other neutral one then is the luggage one, which is just underneath the texting.
Yeah, that one was mine. And again, this is one that I couldn't find data on this. I couldn't find, you know, any general guidelines because everything is airline specific. So I tried to write up a problem that seemed to make sense. And then before I had kind of written out that table, I think I was trying to hit those top four cells with my four different options here.
So I would imagine that, you know, different groups of students would get, there would be four different versions of this problem that would just kind of be randomly passed out to the class. And we would see if there was any difference in the way people responded to the four versions.
Would we mix and match throughout the survey so that if someone got the good sample problem on one question, they would then get a bad on another?
I think that would be nice, but would that be logistically difficult? Because then you would kind of Because what I'm imagining in my class, like my section alone is 100 students. And so I would imagine it would be kind of difficult to control who got what handout.
Oh, no, I was thinking still the randomized set of surveys. I liked that idea. It's just that within each survey, would they be all good or all bad? Or would it be kind of mix and match within the survey as well?
That's a good question. Are we doing all of these questions at one time, or are we spreading them throughout the semester?
Good question.
It might make sense. I kind of would want to see... I don't know. Do we need this to be paired? So do we need... So that whether it's the same, well, it can't be the same scenario, but do we need it to be that we see how a student answers in each of these six cells, more or less, or can we just have different students falling into the cells?
So one way, if it's different students, we would see general improvements in the class at the time, hopefully. Whereas if it's the same student, it could be confounded by, or both would be confounded by the fact that it's a different set of questions.
Yeah.
Also, if you want to do paired, then there's the question of whether it has to be anonymous or not.
So when does it make the most sense to implement these? I mean, one of the issues here when we talk about sampling, I'm guessing most of us probably do that pretty early in our class, so it would be difficult to talk about things like statistically significant then. We might have to actually tone that language down a little bit to make that language more, less technical basically, more colloquial. And in that case, it might make sense to just have, you know, a worksheet where they're going through or they go on the computer, however we decide to do it. Although I think we need written responses, so I think we need worksheets. But a worksheet that has, say, good sampling agrees, like, I don't know if we could hit, can we hit all four of these? Would that just make it too, all six of these, would that just make it too redundant for each student to do all six in a single worksheet?
But then we're also going to have to know what their exact opinion was to know if it agrees or disagrees with them.
Right. So we need them to write their, we need to have their ID number from their opinion survey on this. Maybe we do need to administer this on a computer because it would just allowing text response.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I also like the idea of it online is that you can make it so they can't go back to the previous page. So they can't go back and change their answer if you ask them a leading question or something later.
Mm-hmm. So I think we still need to think about is, and maybe we'll need to do this once we see all our questions. The way I look at it, we need a minimum of six questions to fill these cells. Do we ask them one instrument with all six questions?
then you have, if they're independent scenarios, then you have that question type is confounded with the particular topic.
I don't know if it matters if the same student gets all six scenarios if we have enough students.
Hey, I apologize. I have to go take off to another call. I think this has been really interesting. A lot to think about. I think that sample size question in particular is important.
Felicity, do you have any dates for July that we should avoid?
July 2nd through 6th are all out for me.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
I mean, I really think it's going to be very hard to get a student with all six because we have to know, okay, how did they feel about the Mac versus PC question? Which side were they on? Because strongly agree versus strongly disagree is two totally different things based upon that side you're on.
Right. That's a good point. So for the – that's a good point.
So I think that since we're just going to do as a pilot study in our minds to begin with, we can just see how it works if we don't control for that. Just because we know it's going to be a nightmare to try to do it.
Yeah. I mean, what we have to go on is based on our initial results here, we think we have an idea of how the majority of people feel, whether the majority of people agree or the majority of people disagree.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of come up with questions that fall into those cells, and then we'll have to look for each particular person, do they agree or disagree. So, yeah, I see what you're saying. There's, on one hand, you could say we're going to classify the questions as falling in here, but really that classification could change for students.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying. All right, so if we go back to the airline question. Did people have a chance to kind of read through that and read through the four different options?
Uh-huh.
So they would have, every student would have the first paragraph, and then their final sentence would change depending on what option they had, and then every student would have the next two questions. Do you think those are reasonable questions? Do they seem like they're leading too much, or are they just a good way to get at what we're looking for?
Do we need four for the neutral one?
We may not. I guess one thing I was concerned about when I started to write this is that it kind of took on like a safety flavor, and then I was afraid that that might make it less neutral. So I guess that's kind of why I wrote it as if it was an opinionated question. But maybe we don't need all four, which we would need one good and one bad, but then we might be able to just pick either no problem or problem for both.
Well, then I hate to be this person every single time. But I just know my students, whenever I say I randomly select something, they still want to know, what do you mean, how you randomly selected them?
That's actually a good question, because I realized logistically, like really logistically, this would be a total pain in the butt. That's why I was a little vague. Because there's all sorts of issues of which airport are you going to, you know, are you going to different airports, are you going to different airlines?
When I just originally read it, in my mind, I'm going to probably imply in my own head that they're coming from the same airport.
Yeah, I think that's...
I feel that might not be the case, but I think that might be implied when they're reading it.
Right. Yeah, that I think that's reasonable because it just says through airport security, so I think it's reasonable to read in one. If they're just going through security, likely they are different airlines, different destinations. Like, I kind of left that up, and that was my way of kind of saying that, you know, it would be a hopefully a more representative sample because you would get more different types of passengers just at the security checkpoint than, say, waiting at the gate for a particular flight.
So I think it's one of those things that won't, even though, you know, we talk about a random sample, in real life we don't have ever that perfect ideal random sample.
No, we don't.
So I think technically, like, you know, in options 3 and 4, you could still say they randomly select 50 passengers coming off a flight from Orlando. So that word random could still be there.
I would say, though, in the sake of making it obvious, I would maybe even emphasize that of, you know, they select the first 50 passengers coming off the flight or something like that. You know, we were talking before about you, it's probably better to go obvious, more obvious for our first round.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think if you just put the word random in there, I think that makes it a little bit more subtle of a point. If you could still have a random sample, but if you had a lousy sampling frame, it doesn't matter. And I think that might be too subtle for this round. So what do you guys think? Should we, do we need all four? My hypothesis, or under like the framework of what I, the hypotheses that we have, is that it shouldn't make a difference. In the good sampling cases, so both in 1 and 2, regardless of what they found, I guess that's the other reasons I wrote up all 4 is I didn't want it to be confound. I didn't want the results to be confounded with the decision. On the, I would hope they wouldn't be, but on the off chance they could, we kind of cover our bases by having all 4 explicit. We can really look at it and say, yeah, we saw that regardless of whether it was problem or no problem, they recognized the good sampling method from the bad. So it just, it kind of, it may be overkill, but I think it just protects us from confounding. It at least allows us to address the confounding that may or may not result because of the conclusion.
Okay, so with that in mind, then, what about the one we just worked on? Because we only have 2 scenarios.
Right. So the conclusion here that irradiation delays mold growth. So what we would need to do is we would need to write 2 more where they said irradiation doesn't delay mold growth, and so strawberries shouldn't be irradiated.
But then we're giving our students misinformation, because scientifically that's an incorrect, I mean, it does delay mold growth. That's
yeah.
A problem.
And that's why I think we may not be able to get 1 scenario that works in all 4. Since my situation was 100% artificial, I could write all 4, and I don't think it really matters much. But I see what you're saying, because in my texting problem, there are studies that find that texting while driving is dangerous. I certainly don't want to write an artificial problem where I say a study found that texting while driving is perfectly safe.
Right.
I want to give college students that article. So I don't necessarily want to fake a realistic situation, especially in the texting case. It's a very real safety issue, so I don't want to fake it in that case. So if you want to leave the irradiation case the way it is, I think that would be fine. And then I don't think we're going to be able to make every single problem fit the same format. So maybe having a variety of problems may work, and I think the luggage example is one case where we can hit the four different possibilities here for a neutral scenario and see. Or if you guys are more comfortable, we pick either problem or no problem.
I'm okay with all four. No. Looking at the time, it's 11:10. We're probably not going to get through all of these today. So should we start thinking about what we want to get through before we're done today and then try to schedule another time to finish them?
I think that sounds reasonable. How many more do we have? We got through two today. We have the texting one.
Tuition one.
Marijuana and Mac versus PC. So we have four. I think, you know, we spent the first half of our talk talking about JSM, so I think we could have one more call and get through all four of these. I think that would be reasonable. So do we want to just try and schedule another call in fairly short order to go over the rest of these?
Well, it would have to be early next week, right? Jackie, when did you say your C-section is? Next Friday? Yes.
Could we do something Monday? I'll volunteer to stay as recorder so we could all keep our jobs. This would be June. Could we just say Monday the 7th?
That's okay with me.
Same time?
I can't do 10 a.m. I got another meeting. I can do basically anything except between 10 and 11.
I can do any time, I think, next Monday. Yeah, I can do any time next Monday.
So can I.
I can do anything but late afternoon.
Lee, did you say you had another meeting?
Yeah, at 10 a.m., unfortunately. So.
Okay. When could you realistically get to a phone after that?
Probably not till like 11:30.
Okay, that if we were to do it at 11:30, that would carry us a little bit into the lunch hour, or we can just say 1 o'clock.
Randy, are you available next Monday?
Let's see. I think I should be able to make it then.
So I'd say we either pick one or two. Is that early enough in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Does anyone have a preference between the two times?
Earlier probably would be better for me, just to be safe.
Any objections to 1 o'clock on Monday, June 7th?
Between now and then, maybe we should all look through what's in the Google Doc and try to make them more detailed where we think they need more detail. And
yeah.
Okay.
I'll try to line up.
And you said we're going to keep our same roles?
Yeah, I'll email Dean after this and make sure that
okay.
Have the time.
All right. All right, I think that sounds reasonable. So we'll try and have a short call to finish this up. Then we can pick one of these questions that I can pilot, and we'll go from there.
Do we want to set up July now so we don't have to do that next time, or do we want to wait till next time for July? Does anyone have preference?
It doesn't really matter to me, but I can't really guarantee how available I'm going to be at all.
That whole new baby excuse again.
Yeah, you know, you can't take baby to daycare until she's 6 weeks old, so I'm not going to be the most available. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be. Unless it's later, because I teach on Tuesday and Thursday night.
I say I vote for waiting because we might have Holly Lynn or Felicity might be able to join us on the 7th, so we might have more people available to set a time. So
okay.
I make a motion that we wait.
Okay. I'm fine with me.
All right, speak.
Okay, so next Monday.
Okay.
All right, have a good day, everybody.
Yep.
Thanks. Too.
Thank you. Please stand by.